Well, while the Christmas Island community is feeling the strain, so too is the immigration detention facility. The addition of 42 survivors from the shipwreck, plus the passengers and crew of a further three boats intercepted this week, means that, as we heard there, overcrowding at the centre has reached breaking point. The facility is built to accommodate 2,600 people, but it's now home to 2,910. And that figure doesn't include the 56 passengers and four crew from one of the intercepted boats currently being transported to the island by Border Protection. Well, Sandy Logan is the Immigration Department spokesman, and he joins me this morning. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Julian.
First of all, can I just get a brief response from what we've just heard from the Shire President, Gordon Thompson?
Well, Gordon Thompson is the Shire President, and I'm the spokesman for the Department of Immigration, and we work closely with Mr. Thompson and with the Shire. We certainly recognize that there are challenges that the island faces, and these go across, I think, many agencies, many departments, including our own. But we recognize that certainly the island's dynamics, the island's makeup has changed with the occupation, with the detainees now in Christmas Island Detention Center and other facilities on the island since it was built by the previous government and then used by this government for the first time in 2008.
All right. Well, moving on to the survivors of the tragedy now, can you give us an update on the condition of those survivors?
Well, they are all in their family groups, bar the six who we medically evacuated to the mainland, to Perth, for hospital treatment, all of whom, I believe, bar one, and I haven't got the latest update. It's still a bit early in Perth, but I think all bar one of the six are now out of hospital and are being cared for by the department in alternative places of detention with support interpreters and medical services at the alternative place of detention on the island. We continue to make our first priority the care and the well-being of particularly the survivors from the tragedy last week.
And will they be treated in any way differently because of the circumstances in which they arrived on the island?
Julian, I think the safest response to that is that certainly every individual claim for protection for asylum is dealt with by the decision makers on a case-by-case basis, and one can't but help imagine that the circumstances that these people have been through in one would assume the lodging of their claims for protection will clearly be taken into account. The process will be no different in that there will be a decision maker who will consider the claims for protection that they may lodge. And it wouldn't be appropriate for me to speculate on what the outcome of that would be. But there is a clearly defined process, and that will be followed. Having said that, though, don't let that be interpreted as being we won't be providing all of the support that we possibly can. We will be, to ensure that they get over this trauma and deal with it as best they can. Some of them may never get over it. We recognize that, but we're there with all of the support and counselling.
And I think the department has used terms like the appropriate mental health services and the like, but there is a report in The Australian today of relatives of some of the survivors, the brother of one man who thinks that he's lost his wife and two children, and the brother of Rana Muhammad, who fears that she's lost her husband and son. Now, they're relatives who live in Sydney, and they're calling for those survivors to be transferred to Sydney so that they can have family support. That seems like a pretty reasonable request. Will the department be acting on that request?
Well, no, we won't be acting on the request in The Australian. Let me make, I guess,
from the family members of the survivors.
I understand. Let me make two points, I guess. One is we have had in operation within hours of this tragedy last week a helpline that we have asked and invited people to use anywhere in the world, 24 hours a day, with interpreting services available, to let us know if they believe they had family members or friends who might have been on board that boat. And that has been well utilized, both from within Australia.
Yeah, but the question's about where these people will be held. And
I'm
whether
getting
or not,
to that,
Julian. Okay.
And that has been well utilized by many callers. That is helping us to identify to the best of our ability, and of course in concert with other agencies such as the AFP in particular, how many people were on the boat and who they were, in terms of identifying then some of the relatives who have been reported in the papers being uncertain. That is helping the police in piecing together.
But if I could ask you to get to the question that I asked, which is, will these people be moved to near their family members?
In terms of where they'll be accommodated, we have got a policy in place that the minister announced some time ago that long-term detention accommodation options have been under strain, and we need to look at options on the mainland, such as Inverbraki in South Australia, such as community detention arrangements, which the Red Cross are operating for us. And I'm sure that in the consideration of how best to look after these people, how vulnerable these families may be, that these sorts of considerations will be made. Okay. I can't give you an answer now and give you a decision, but I'm sure that this will be taken into consideration.
Okay. Obviously, the Christmas Island detention facility is pretty well over capacity now. Are asylum seekers being housed in tents?
Well, they have been for some time.
Mm. And what wasn't the department warned that this could result in declining mental health and behavioural issues?
Well, both the department is aware and has made those concerns known itself that, that long-term use of the tents was not a preferred and is not a preferred option. The government has recognized that. The minister certainly has recognized that, and that's why he announced in October with the Prime Minister that there were now options on the mainland, such as Inverbraki, such as Northam, north of Perth, where a greenfield site on former defence land will be used to establish new detention facilities. So these indicators have been taken note of, and action for new detention facilities is now underway.
Sandy Logan, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Julian.
And Sandy Logan is a spokesman for the Department of Immigration. On Radio National Summer Breakfast, it is 16 minutes to 8.